They say everything can be replaced. They say every distance is not near. So I remember every face of everyone who put me here. I see my light come shining.
Ooh, I like people are singing along. I love it.
From the west down to the east. Any day now. Any day now. I shall be released. They say everyone needs protection. They say every man must fall. So I swear I see my reflection somewhere inside these walls. I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. Yonder stands a man in this lonely crowd. A man who says he's not to blame. All day long I can hear him hollering so loud, crying out that he's not to blame. Come on now, I see the light come shine. Shall be released.
Do it again.
Whoa. Any day now, any day now,
any day,
any day now, I shall be released. Whoa. Any day now, any day.
Awesome. Band, thank you. So good to see everybody this morning. Good morning. My name is Nancy Merritt. I am honored to serve on your board of trustees. Welcome to everyone in our sanctuary this morning. I get to sit down here and look at all your faces, and it was really awesome. And welcome to everyone who's live streaming with us today. Our Sunday services are at 10 o'clock. You know that because you're here. So that's good. But you can watch our services anytime on demand on our website or on YouTube if you do miss our services. So our flowers today are in celebration of Jan Becker and Judy Herrick's 10th wedding anniversary and Jan's 80th birthday.
Bravo.
Bravo. Both awesome milestones. So congratulations, happy birthday, and thank you. Please join our Board of Trustees. We have a meeting right after the service today at 11:45, right after you get a cookie and some coffee. Stay in the know about our facilities transformation, our church finances, and the search for a temporary location during our construction. After the meeting, scoot home, get your pets, and come back for the pet blessing at 2 o'clock. It's not too late to join Trusting Change. It's a book group, study group. The study guides and the signups are in the Garden Court and on our website. Books are available in the bookstore. And this is the last chance you have today to join Keys to the Kingdom. We meet Tuesday nights. It's our fall prosperity class. If you've never taken it, or if you have, we'd love to have you there. I'm blessed to be able to co-facilitate with Reverend Pat, and he and I learn, well, I'll just say I learn more every time I take this class, including facilitating it. So get all the details and sign up in the Garden Court if you can join us. And don't miss Art in Unity. We have a wonderful celebration this Friday, the 13th. Enjoy company, great company, beautiful art, and a fabulous dessert buffet and live music. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a special program at 7, so come on and join us. We'd be excited to see you here. We have a lot of other events this month. They're in your bulletin. A brief grief circle on Monday, the 16th. Membership class is the third weekend in October. Fall cleanup, if you can join us, is Saturday, the 21st. Science and Wonder Wizardry on Saturday, the 28th. And Journeying the Internal Landscape on the 29th. So lots to do to continue your spiritual journey here. Now please join Reverend Pat in our opening prayer.
Join me in our opening prayer. Let's just take a moment and center ourselves in this one presence, in this one power. Let us take a deep breath together. And as we gather here today, we open our hearts and we open our minds to the power of letting go and trusting change. We recognize that change is a constant force in our lives, and sometimes it can be challenging to release the familiar and embrace the unknown. So in this very moment, we just surrender our attachments to the past, to the old ways of thinking, and to fear that holds us back. So we're grateful that we know this divine presence within today as peace, peace that passes all human understanding. And we let no thoughts disturb us, for God is peace in our mind. And today we're grateful that we know this divine presence within is love. Divine love's healing and harmonizing power flows within me and through me. Grateful we know this divine presence within is healing. Life is a divine healing stream within my body, mind, and being, and God is present. And we are grateful. So today, regardless of what is going on in our life, regardless of the circumstances that we may be facing today, we give thanks that God is greater than the circumstances, and that God is present in each and every experience in our life. Grateful that God is omnipresent, no place where God is not. And today we tap into that source, that power, that strength. And we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. And together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day today, okay? We invite you to stand for our opening song.
If you're at home, you can stand up in that kitchen, pick up your coffee, and wave it around while you sing.
My body, my soul, are part of a perfect whole. My heart and my hands are serving a sacred plan. I know that it's true when all that I am comes down to you. I know that it's true.
thoughts and my mind belong to eternal time. My words and my song, you're writing them all along. I know that it's true when all that I am comes down to you. And I know that it's true.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're grateful you're with us today. We welcome you, and we also welcome those that are live streaming with us today. Unity is a positive path for spiritual living. We offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. Unity is also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. One of our core values here at Unity is that of welcoming. So, my dear friends, not only do we welcome you, but we extend a special welcome to those that are our guests today, in person or live stream. So today, if you are with us as a guest, please allow us to honor your presence. Just take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Guests out there, guests, keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a pink card in that packet. If you choose to fill out any part of that card, turn that into our book desk. We have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you that personal one-on-one greeting. Also, those that are live streaming with us, there's a link there to fill out a contact card. If you fill that out, someone from our staff will reach out to you and give you that personal welcome as well. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate our guest, okay? Now, let's affirm together our vision statement. Your vision statement is found in your order of service. Our vision, together, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. Again, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. And the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You're invited to mentally add to your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, then they're forwarded to Silent Unity, where they're prayed for an additional 30 days. The word for today is together. We affirm, the presence of God unites us as we work, play, and pray together. Joining with others to work makes the job easier. Joining together for fun multiplies the enjoyment, the camaraderie, cooperation, and support of togetherness give me a boost and brighten my mood. The indwelling Christ present is alive in all people everywhere. When I work, play, or pray with others, something greater than the sum of our individual efforts and insights results. The divine love that binds us multiplies as we recognize it in one another and give it fuller expression in ourselves. Work becomes more productive, play more enjoyable, prayer more fulfilling. Together, we produce more good work and feel more joy and happiness than any of us could accomplish on our own. And Scripture tells us, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them," from Matthew 18:20. The word for today is together.
Please join me in meditation. And as we close our eyes, take a deep cleansing breath, letting us acknowledge the change is always in our lives. Change is that ever-present river that flows through the landscape of our existence, bringing joyful arrivals and poignant departures. We've all witnessed the seasons of change, the cycles of the moon wax and wane, the ebb and flow of our own lives. Change is the natural rhythm of the universe, and we too are part of that dance. So just for a moment, let us perhaps turn our attention to grieving, a sacred and necessary act in the face of change. Grieving is that profound acknowledgement of what was and what has been lost. is a testament to the love and the connection and the significance of what once was. In our spiritual community, we have cherished moments, relationships, and experiences that truly have enriched our lives. And grief reminds us that these moments, though fleeting, were precious and deeply meaningful. So let us breathe deeply, knowing that there's no right or wrong way to grieve. It is a personal experience. But by embracing our grief, we honor the beauty of what was and the lessons that are to be bestowed upon us. So let us again take a deep breath. Feel any feelings. And open ourselves to the idea that change can be a force for transformation and renewal. Change, absolutely necessary. And it is in this awareness that we rest for a few moments in the stillness and in the quiet. Thank you, God, for the stillness and the quiet, the peace, the love, and the compassion that we offer each other, giving thanks that it is God. It is God flowing through us. So in this shared space today, this shared space of love, this safe place, we surrender again and let go. So today we pray with those that have requested our prayers represented by our prayer box. We hold each prayer request in this consciousness of love, this consciousness of answered prayer. And we say, thank you. Thank you, God. So I invite you to begin to return to this time and this place, knowing that we have been in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace. And we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
I took my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I looked around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Oh. Oh. I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I have built my life around you. And time makes you bolder, even children get older. Oof. I'm getting older too. I'm getting older too. I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I have built my life around you. And time makes you bolder, even children get older, and I'm getting older too. Oh. I'm getting older too. It says oh exclamation point in my words there. Oh, took my love, take it down. Climb a mountain and you turn around. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, well, then the landslide will bring it down. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, well, the landslide will bring it down. Oh, the landslide will bring it down.
Love the shoes. If you can't see them, they're awesome. Good morning. Thank you, Reverend Pat. Beautiful meditation. As always, beautiful music. Amazing ASL. Years ago, many years ago now, when I was studying for the ministry, I had a teacher who said, don't be surprised if the lesson that you have to give is the one you have to learn. And I said, doesn't that make it a little difficult to stand up on Sunday and pretend that you're an expert or that you know what you're talking about? And he laughed. That didn't answer my question, but he laughed. So I stand here this morning learning the lesson that I'm about to share with you. We are in the second week of our study of this amazing book called Trusting Change. Reverend Karen gave us an amazing lesson last week, introducing us to this concept of trusting change and what change is and how it affects us as an individual, as a community, and as a nation, and as a world. And then she said she didn't actually give us the hows to fix it or walk through it, but she told us about it. That's because in this book, there are then 10 skills for navigating change, for helping us to navigate as we stand in what she calls the threshold. Now, I had our first time on Thursday, and one of the questions that I got asked almost immediately was, Tony, what's a threshold? Great. What's a threshold? What's a threshold? An entryway, it is. It's a doorway. It's a passing from one place to another place. Yes? Originally, back years and years and years ago, the threshold was that slab or that wood that was on the floor. And often it was raised, or maybe it had something on it to keep the wind out or the water out or the dust or whatever. Okay. But it was that. And the threshold also possibly is associated with an old German word that means to thresh. How many of you have ever threshed grain? Aha! So we know that that's not an easy process. And when it was done manually, it's a lot of forcing and clashing and separating the wheat from the chaff. How many times have we heard that expression? And following the threshing is a winnowing, is the sorting, I loved those pictures where the guys would take the rakes and they go up and they throw it up and the wind would take the chaff and blow it away and the grain would fall to the ground. Thresholds are about that. Thresholds are about standing in a doorway. When we look at that, and we look at that and how it relates to change, we're standing in a doorway, and behind us represents security. Whether we feel it necessarily or not, but we know what's back there. We know the rules. We think we know who we are, pretty much, back there. We have a comfort. Even though we may be uncomfortable, we have a comfort. Does that make sense? You know, even if it's not comfortable, we have comfort in knowing what's going on and how we should react and what people are going to think of us and so forth. Ahead of us is the unknown. We don't know what's out there. So we stand in the threshold, which is a locus for vulnerability. It's the locus of vulnerability. Now, Reverend Karen says, that's the no longer, that's the not yet, and this is the pause. This is the pause. And how we navigate through all of this, she recommends we use these 10 skills. They relate to the no longer, the pause, and the not yet. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to take 2 of those skills each Sunday and talk about them at a pretty high level because we only have 20 minutes. Well, maybe 30. Anyway, so we're going to take 2 of them and talk about them. And then during the week, for those of us in a book group, we'll take it deeper. For those of you doing individual study, I would encourage you to use the book because it is built as a study guide. Take it deeper. And for those of you who have not yet purchased the book, I would encourage you to do that and maybe join a group. But we're going to take each of them and hit the highlights on Sunday. Start us thinking about the be-do of the skill. This week, we're starting with the no longer, and we're going to talk about 2 skills. The first one is letting go. And I can hear some of you go, oh, yeah, man, we talk about that all the time. I know what that's about. Okay, good. Maybe. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And the other one is grieving. And I must say that one surprised me a little bit as the second of the skills that we must use and work with. So I want to start last week, prayer box. I want to start with a poem. Last week, Reverend Karen read a poem of hers to start her lesson. She's an amazing poet. She writes beautiful poetry. But I want to share with you one of hers that she began her this skill chapter about letting go. The Moment I Heard the News is the title. Though it would take years to learn what it meant, what it would bring, and what it would claim, the moment I heard the news, I was no longer the same. Already leaving what I knew, what I loved, what I had forgotten would not last, letting go with nothing new to grasp, just letting go, letting go. Letting go of what was never mine to hold. While the wind brushed across my open cupped hands and the soft sunlight sifted down, slipping through my fingers to the ground below. Just letting go. So our first skill is letting go. What does that mean, letting go? How do I do that? Have you ever asked, you know, we talk about letting go in unity all the time. How do I do that? What do I do about letting go? How does that work, this letting go? Well, there are a couple of things we need to think about. Number one, letting go has some aspects to it. She talks about four. And the first one is to recognize that change is creativity. The process of change is also the process of creating. Think about that. We're changing our thoughts, our attitudes, our environments, and what do we say in unity about thoughts and things? Yeah. Thoughts are things they create. Change your thoughts, change your reality. So change is a creative process. So the first thing that we need to look at is having the courage to take the step into change. I don't think that takes courage. Yeah, it takes courage. Tell me it doesn't. Even if it's a little one change. I'm not talking about the big changes. Sometimes the little changes are the hardest. These are the things we do every day. And now all of a sudden we're beginning to realize that it's not working. We're going to have to let that little thing go, that daily routine. My challenge, my threshold this year for our group is the issue of my weight and my health. Okay? And the first thing I have to be able to do is step into what's unknown about that, number one. And then number two, what do I have, the little things that I have to recognize and be willing to let go of? Like the pizza every other week. Or the donuts. Oh, God, the donuts. Or doing the, you know, anyway, you get what I'm saying here? So we have to step into that. We have to step in with courage. Second thing we have to do is we have to clear some open space. I can walk into that courage all day long, but if I don't let go of some of the stuff so I have room to bring in the new. Remember the old, the Buddhist tale? The novitiate who stands at the door and knocks on the door impatiently to see this wise monk. Walks in and says, I've been studying this stuff for a long time. I really know this Zen philosophy. I thought I'd stop by and see if you had anything I could learn from you. What do you think? The monk said. Sit down, son. Let me pour you some tea. And then she continues to pour and pour and pour. And all of a sudden, the cup is full and it's running over. And he's getting all excited. What do you mean? She said, son, you're like the cup. You're full to the brim. You can't take anymore. Go home. Empty yourself and come back. And then maybe you can learn. So when we have the courage, we then have to open space for what's new coming, what new possibilities there are. And in the process, we also have to shed some old skins. We have to let go of, shed, get rid of these things that are limiting our growth. And those are things like the roles that we play, the ideas, the belief systems, how people see us. It's interesting that the caterpillar, and we've been talking about being in the ooze and the chrysalis, but the caterpillar, who doesn't live very long, I didn't know this, caterpillars don't live very long. But in their lifetime, they may shed their skin every other day or so. Starts at the top of their head, squiggles out, and then they eat the old skins as nourishment to help them grow. So we have to shed our skins. We have to shed our skins and learn from that shedding. And then during that process, we will have identified or crystallized the identities that we hold. What roles do we hold? Or how do people see us? How do we expect them to see us? External and then internal is, have you ever said when you're in a group, if they really knew me, if they really knew me, and then you add what's coming on behind that, if they really knew me, they wouldn't think I was too smart. If they really knew me, we have to identify what those are. And then we have to make the decision to which ones to take with us on this journey and which ones we have to let go. So our letting go is about having courage. It's about opening up so that we can take in more. It's about, what would I say the third one was? Shedding our skins. We have to shed our skins. And then we have to identify and choose which identities are really us now. Okay? So that doesn't happen overnight. And in fact, we probably have multiple thresholds that we're standing in. And what I've discovered is just about the time I get through into the not yet, and it becomes the no longer, and we start over again. But that's growth. It's what life is about. Thank you, Reverend Pat, for mentioning that process. It is what it is. If we don't do it, we get static, stale, and we die. So that's number one. See, I told you we were going to go through this just like that. Number two is grief. And it's amazing to me how these things come around. I don't think my sister would mind me sharing and ask that you have a prayer for her husband. My brother-in-law is in the final stages of some liver disease and may not be with us for long. So learning how to be in the grief, that grief, which is a powerful, powerful grief of losing a loved one. And yet I know it's not just that, because living in the threshold is about loss. It's about loss. Because everything that we talked about letting go of, we have a loss there. Even if we're excited about where we're going, what we're leaving behind can be a loss. And there's a grief associated with that, as well as an excitement when it's something we really are looking forward to. So living in the threshold is about losses. And grief is the heart's reflexive response to loss. I love that phrase. It's now on my refrigerator. Grief is the heart's reflective response to loss. Medical science tells us that it is actually natural and necessary for us to grieve, express our grief. It's what keeps us emotionally, mentally, and physically healthy. Because what if we don't express the grief? What happens? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? We stuff it. Or we try to medicate ourselves. Or we try to eradicate it. It goes into our cells. It embodies. Okay? or we try ways to keep it from coming up. Karen tells a beautiful story from Christine Caldwell about a therapy session with a woman who came in because she noticed that she was struggling with the concept of loss. And she noticed that every time it came, loss of any kind came up, sorry about that, Peter. She would rub her face, found herself rubbing her face. And it was something that was annoying. It was driving her crazy and didn't know. She then told the story about the time when she was 4 years old in her mother's funeral. And her father came up to her with this and saw her face that was of sorrow and just distorted, sorrowful face. And because probably he's trying to keep it together, he looked at her and said, "Young lady, wipe that look off your face." And here it was, many years later, when loss comes up, she's wiping the look off her face. It's that kind of thing that when we stuff it, if we don't medicate ourselves, set of self-medicate, we then try to eradicate it or we numb it. So what is necessary then is to feel it. Even if it hurts like hell, feel it, let it out, and then look at it. Now, there are four things that we want to look at here. Taking time, first off, take time for your sorrow. There's no fixed time to grieve anything. It just isn't. Now, if it's a smaller loss, you lost a job. You separated out of a job. Whether it was yours or it was unexpected, there's grief in that. Feel it. And it might not take as long to move through it to find what we're going to call the gift of grief. But it's there. I will tell you that it was 3 years since I left Frederick. And this past year, I got notice from them that they are disbanding. That was my child for 19 years. Let me tell you about grief. It comes up again. It does. It comes up, and then we deal with that. We work through that. We don't deal with it. We work through it. But it takes as long as it takes. Our society doesn't particularly like that very much. Have you noticed? You know, let's see if I get this right. The Diagnostic and Analytical Manual for Psychiatric Disorders has recently just upgraded the time for normal grief from 2 months to 6 months. You get 6 months, folks. If it's a big, heavy-duty grief, you get 6 months to move through it. But it's individual. It's for each of us to know. Our society will often make us guilty of it. Say, the myth is that if we grieve heavily or for too long, it's because we were too attached and we'll get stuck and we'll never move on. It's a myth. And yet it can happen if we don't follow through with the other parts of this working with this concept of grief. So take the time that's needed for grief. The second thing is to recognize that the effects of loss are decentering. And what I mean by that is that life is always trying to get us out of balance. Because remember, life is change. And our purpose is to try to keep in balance. Vision, picture in your mind a two-year-old trying to walk for the first time. What'd that look like? It's a little wobbly. Maybe it was a one-year-old. 2 years old, I already know how to do it. It's been a long time since I've had one that young. But, you know, a toddler who's trying to walk. There's a lot going on trying to put one foot in front of the other and shifting your weight and keeping your body in line. When you recognize it there, but every day, something comes up, wanted or unwanted, that throws us out of balance. It could be a good thing, a new relationship. It's going to change the balance. It's going to shift us. In that shift, one of the things that Karen says is in that shift, our ego gets unseated a little bit. And when it does, we no longer are in that egoic place where we're driven to be, do it right, be perfect, stay. We're moved off of the center. And all of a sudden, we can see things a little differently. We can be open to newer possibilities. So if we recognize this up front, that during this time of loss, whatever that is, I'm going to be slightly out of balance. I'm going to be off balance. My ego is going to be sitting over here a little bit. And I have an opportunity to see it differently. I have an opportunity to see it differently. And when we do that, we can get clear in naming those losses, not just the event itself. A pet dies, God forbid. I have two that are getting as old as I am. And God forbid that one of them should pass. But if it does, it's going to throw my life off. It will. And yet what I can look at in that moment is not blame myself for what I didn't do. It's not about me. Look at that animal. Look at that loving dog and say, what's happening here? Where is she at this moment? And how can I help other puppies? We shift. So this decentering effect of loss is important. It helps us recognize. It helps us recognize that this is part of a process. And we are open, we can open to seeing it differently than just a poor me. Our ego moves out of the way. The other thing that we notice in that decentering is that we have one of two responses. For many of us, the minute this happens, we reach out to our friends and our family for support. We need that support. So we reach out, and we know that it'll be there. For some of us, we need a little time alone first. We need to go inside and really work through what has happened for us. What has happened here, and how am I feeling with all of this? I happen to be one of those introverts, actually, that needs to go in and work through it a little bit. Two things can happen. If I reach out first and go to my friends and my family for support, one of the downsides is that I might never go inside. I might always rely on the outside to fix it. At some point, we have to go inside and see what it is within us. Secondly, if I'm going inside first, if I never go outside, there's a sense of depression. There's a sense of heaviness. There's really a struggle to find that extra help. So it's important for us to remember that we're not in this alone and that we do need to step out. But if we need to go inside first, do so with the understanding that there is support also. Family, friends, church, therapy, whatever. It works. Those are tandem things. And so this is important for us. Once again, the Buddhists have a story of a woman who came to a monk. She just lost her son. And she said, she was distraught, bring him back for me. And he said, he didn't dismiss her as crazy. He said, in order for me to do that, you have to bring me a mustard seed from a person who lives in a home that has never had personal loss. She said, okay. She began to go around her village asking. And everybody she asked, she was given a story of loss. And finally, with no mustard seed, because she had not found that, she came back to the monk, not distraught, but at peace, recognizing that she was not alone. And with more compassion and loving kindness for her village, who had all suffered loss. It is a group affair, folks. Not just a group affair. But it requires that connectivity to ultimately move through. And so then there is the next step, which might be a little bit longer than 30 minutes. Remembering and forgetting is the next one. How many of you have gotten up from your desk, walked through the door into the other room, and completely forgotten what you went in there for? Anybody else besides me? And even if you came back into your office, you still didn't remember what it was. Or you went into the kitchen, you opened the refrigerator, you go, what did I do? You know, I've always been blaming that on old age. The older I got, the worse it got. Well, guess what? There is this thing called dysthesia. It is an honest-to-goodness thing. Let me tell you what it is. Dysthesia is a known psychological event where a person's short-term memory declines when passing through a door, moving from one location to another when it would not if they had remained in the same place. It's not old age, folks. We're hardwired to do that. It's called the doorway effect. The University of Notre Dame did studies on this. It's honestly true. Made me feel better. But how do we apply that here? Okay, how do we apply that here? Well, what we know then is that we have the power. Now that we know that, we have the power within us, hardwired within us. It's going to let go of what's back there if we shift our focus and our consciousness. Because what they showed was what we were focusing on when we were sitting in our desk was one thing. But the minute we walked through the door, the threshold, we stepped into another focus. We stepped into another focus, another consciousness. And the brain is wired to just forget what was back here. How do we use this? How do we use this in this grief process? Consciously, we can use that to understand that when we shift consciousness, it is much easier to let go of, because the brain is hardwired to do that. And it will mean we consciously have to go back and say, wait a minute, I don't want to forget that. Oh, yeah, I want to live that forgotten. And then we remember how we remember it, we can also decide. When it happens, we may hold it in real pain and anger at the person who left us or at the person who fired us, or we may be really excited and we want to hold that, but we can be really excited about the new house or the move. We get to choose, standing in the threshold, how we want to see that. And how we want to hold it going forward. It's a powerful thing. There is a thing called disenfranchised grief. And disenfranchised grief is that grief which is never honored. In society, there are no rituals for it. It's seen as something less than. Losing a mother to Alzheimer's. My mother was gone long before she died. And I remember standing I went home for a weekend, and I was always the one that fixed her hair. Don't ask me why, but I was the one that could fix her hair. So I'm getting ready to leave, and she said, "Could you fix my hair?" "Sure, Mom." I'm fixing her hair. And as I was working with her hair, I realized that my mother was not there. She was well into Alzheimer's. But she would come in and out. But I realized she wasn't there. She really didn't know me. I finished up what I was doing. And I had to go to the airport. And I cried the whole way to the airport. Because I didn't even get a chance to tell her goodbye. She was gone. But that loss is not something that is necessarily honored. There's no ceremony. There's no ritual. Perinatal death. There's no ritual. There's not a way to hold people officially in so many places. The death of a pet. These kinds of things then stay with us unless we can make sure that we are strong enough, step into it, feel it, let it be there, look at it, see what we want to take with us going forward. So what we carry with us, if we can carry good grief, a growing, positive sense of grief, we will move through that threshold much easier. I want to close with the reading. Let me find the right one. And this one comes from Karen's book as well. I'll close with this. Before I do, I would encourage you all, Reverend Pat did this to his group this morning, get a notebook. Start writing things down. If you have the book, it tells you. It gives you questions to answer, to think about, things to capture. It's a very powerful thing. I would encourage you to do that. And if you have not joined a book group, I would encourage you to do that too. There's Zoom and person. But if you just want to do it by yourself, I get you. Just do it by yourself. This trusting change is a powerful journey. And here's the close. When we let ourselves feel sorrow for what we have lost, we gain access to what we received from it when it was ours. Grief loosens our grip, helping us bow to the impermanence of the living world. Then our awareness of the living world, of ourselves and others in it, can become more spacious, connecting us in surprising new ways to what we have left behind, as well as to the possibilities that lie ahead as yet unseen. Trust the journey, and trust the change.
I just forgot why I came here.
I have these moments of steady and strong. I'm feeling so holy and humble. The next thing I know, all worried and weak, and I feel myself starting to crumble. The meanings get lost and the teachings get tossed, and you don't know where you're gonna do next. You wait for the sun, but it never quite comes. Some kind of message comes through to you. Some kind of message comes through, and it says to you, love when you can, cry when you have. Survival. conscience awakes and you see your mistakes and you wish someone would buy your confessions. The day missed their mark and the night gets so dark and some kind of message comes through to you. Some kind of message shoots through and it says to you, love when you can, cry when you have to, be who you must. That's all part of the plan. Await your arrival with simple survival. One day we'll all understand. One day we'll all understand. One day we'll all understand.
Said to Reverend Tony, I have to listen to the radio more often. You know, I don't really know that song. And she says, you need to go to Spotify and hit the oldies. And I said, well, maybe that's why I don't know the song right there. But oh my gosh, it was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron
Schwab.
Blessings, blessings. Oh my goodness. Reverend Tony, thank you for a wonderful lesson this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you. Also, you know, if you don't know it, because I'm sure it's in your bulletin, but I believe on October the 16th, we have a grief circle here in our church. So I invite you to really look into that and be a part of that as well. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth as we prepare to receive our tithes and our gifts and our offerings. It's easy to do. There's a QR code there on your program as well. You can do an online secure giving. You can also use Venmo and PayPal as well. Or you can use an old-fashioned check as well, or cash. So I'll affirm our church offertory blessing once, then ask you to affirm it with me, and then we will affirm it silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's take a moment as we bless these gifts. We bless all the gifts that's been received this week. And we are grateful. And we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. I just want to echo what Reverend Tony said. We invite you very much to become a part of a group and trusted change. If you notice, the daily word today was together, together. We transform our lives together. So I invite you, if you would, to join a group as well. They're online and in person. Many choices out there. I want to also remind you that today, following our service at 11:45, we have a special community meeting. We certainly invite you to that. And one other quick reminder, and that is Art in Unity this Friday night at 6:30. Come and be a part of that as well. On-duty prayer chaplains, we invite you to please stand. These individuals arrived early and they held sacred space in the sanctuary. They're here to hold that sacred space with you and to pray with you and hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. Let's bring our youth in. Let's stand together as we bring our youth in.
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light, in the light of God. In the light, in the light, in the light, in the light. In the light, in the light, in the light of God. You are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. You are walking in the light, in the light of God. In the light.
Thanks for singing us in. We had great fun in youth and family today. At least I did. I guess I can only speak for myself. But we talked about who's in our family, and we're expanding our view of family to be within ours and our Unity family. And it is a great time in our YES. And then our Uniteens in YOU.
What am I?
What am I? The nature of ourselves and how we are connected to God. So be sure to ask them. I'm sure they had some juicy discussion. We have our pet blessing coming up at 2 p.m., and so invite you to come on back with your pets, and youth can help bless them. So lots of fun in youth and family. Come and talk to me if you want to be a part of it.
And let's appreciate our adult volunteers. Our prayer for protection and our peace song, be sure to speak to at least three people you don't know. Our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well.
Family.
that with me, right?
But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing fingertips that burn like fire. This burning desire.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank the band.